Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Plan used to rally downtown in my city, and you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity, that's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city, it's all over the TV. Martin Luther King, I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit, but the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame, and never take no wooden nickels when they all
homie,
change.
I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
the big picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick, but it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt. Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Sorry about that dead air. Welcome, welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Brother Melvin Siri Jr. Peace, power, and love, family, as usual. And I want to thank those of you who are listening online. And I know we do have a nice following online, and we do appreciate that. We want to let you all know that. We just come here to try to share information, share ideology, share thoughts, share ideas, just trying to produce something that will bring about a change, not just a change of conditions, but a change of mind, change of heart as well. You know, this tonight as well. Oh, and those who are listening online, feel free to call in. That's really the point of, you know, doing these shows, to interact with the people. And not only that, to provide a platform for the people to, you know, be able to voice their opinions, their feelings, because a lot of times we don't have an opportunity to do that. And this is one of those platforms for just that. And like I say, that's why we do this. You know, it's about bettering ourselves, you know, not just one person, but collectively bettering ourselves. And I think once we can get on a movement of bettering ourselves, uplifting one another, we can start to move some things, but we got to build a bond with one another first. And the time to start building that bond has passed. That bond should have been built, but it's never too late, as the saying goes. And we need to get to work on bond building. Tonight, like I say, is just another. Oh, and those who are listening online, if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. Tonight, I will be discussing. Actually, like I say, it's just an open mic, but I want to get some opinions, some thoughts. And, of course, I'm going to give mine. but I want to talk about this damn Trump train is going to be my main topic, and I'm sure that once I get callers, we will, veer off into some other topics as well. My last couple of shows, I really, I did open mic shows. Those shows, I really did not prepare anything, or just have any one specific topic. I really wanted to get feedback from you all, from the people. And I know a lot of people say, now ain't the time to be talking. Yeah, now and always is the time to be talking, is the time to be communicating what needs to be done. And I'll say this, I was just talking to some people a few days ago. And like I said, when you communicate amongst one another, and this is something that we don't do and don't feel the need to do for some reason, which I know right now the sense of urgency, right now there is a definite sense of urgency because we are dying at an overwhelming rate, by the means of police brutality. But we can always change that, And like I say, it's just time for us to start bond building, to start really investing not only our money, but our time, our energy into one another. Because regardless of what distraction happens to be taking place at any given particular time, and there is always going to be a distraction in place to keep you from paying attention to what's really going on. So we've got to be very alert, very vigilant in one another. And we've got to start, like I say, putting our time and our energy into one another and start uplifting one another. I want to, before I keep going, I want to thank my brother Cleveland, my comrade. I was in Birmingham, Alabama on Saturday, actually. Left out of Georgia and hit my comrade up, and he came and got me from the truck stop and showed me a real good time. I enjoyed myself. Got to see little young cat. I can't remember his name, but little young group, live band, pretty good. Moved the house. Like I say, I enjoyed the atmosphere, just nice. That's something I really don't ever do when I'm out on the road working, is get to actually experience any cities that I have been through. Actually, you know, there's been a few that I have got to experience while I was there for an extended period. But as far as what I did Saturday, just hooking up, like I say, with my comrade, Brother Cleveland, and being able to, like I say, meet face-to-face finally, and just have some real good brother talk, good conversation. And like I say, the atmosphere was nice. There was no problems, no fights. Everybody was in good spirits. It was really nice. And I'm not ever one to shy away from my people. So once again, before I keep going, shout out to my comrade for showing me a very hospitable time in Birmingham on Saturday night. I had a long drive Sunday, but it was well worth it, well worth it. But as I was saying, you know, we got to start being more concerned for one another, because really we got to pay attention to what's happening around us. And I know that most of you probably heard by now, I was actually on the road, but Donald Trump, the Chumpster, had a rally here in Dallas, Texas. Well, I live in Arlington, but he had one right the city over from me in Dallas, Texas, over the weekend. And they said it was packed full of them idiots. And it's funny that that happened, because about 2.5 weeks ago, I was on my way back home to East Texas. And, well, when you're leaving out of Dallas on Interstate 30, you cross a little bridge like Ray Hubbard. And there's an overpass right before you cross that long bridge that goes over the Ray Hubbard. And there was people lined up all across that overpass with Trump flags, Make America Great Again flags. They, you know, Make America Great Again hats. And I don't know. That's what really, I don't know. Here in Texas, and I don't know how many of you have ever been through Texas, but here in Texas, Texas is a red state. Texas is a good old boy state. I'll just say it like that. But, yeah, definitely if you are in these parts, and me growing up here in Texas, well, I just know how it is. And you know how to move where you at. You learn how to move where you're at. And definitely we all do that, and we do that very well as a people. But these people are really bothersome. Not only bothersome, they are aggressive. They are, I'll say this, and this is my opinion, and I'm not going to put this on the Panther Party. This is my opinion. This is my show. So I'm going to give you my opinion. They're ignorant. Because when you see them, you see the ignorance. Like driving down 30 the other week, and I look up at this overpass, and the election has been over. And you see these jackasses up over there. And when I say they had that overpass line, I mean, it's like probably 40 people. The length of that damned overpass, and it's Trump flags everywhere. And not only that, here in Arlington, where I live at, for a few Sundays before they had the elections in May, there was a gathering spot over here in Arlington on Boeing and California, where they were ganging up. It was just an empty field, and they had they Trump flags and all that paraphernalia, you know, that lets you know who you're dealing with right off the muscle, for one. And then the last time that they gathered over there, I was going through there, but the last time I saw about four or five guys with AR-15 strapped on their back. So they had gotten comfortable enough to start open carrying their long rifles over there, you know. And so I'm going to say this, too, because I think Trump's appeal, Donald Trump, his appeal is his, for one, and we all know what it is, his, the number one reason is his hatred for black people. Now, true enough, he's been in the culture for a while, but that's what I always say about these people who are in the celebrity entertainment business. These are people that we can't depend on to more or less have our back. You know, these are people that don't live the way we live. They have a different income, you know, bracket, a different level. And tend to lean on them, and we tend to feel like they are going to have our backs more or less. And that's why I say it's up to us to start our own, to be our own spokespeople, because we are the one who are actually dealing with this on a, you know, bottom level, if I can put it that way. We're more hands-on, I'll say it like that, because we're the ones that are being accosted. It's happening to us. It's happened to some famous people, some racist incidents, but not like it happens with us, you know, just normal people, everyday people. So it's like the hatred drives them, and that just lets you know that we should start definitely paying attention and definitely staying on point with it, because it's happening, and we're not really not enough of us. I won't say that we're not as some of us. A lot of us are, and I'm really paying attention to it because I don't see anything good coming out of that. And what I do see, and me and one of my comrades were talking a little bit earlier, you know, and I agree with what he said. It's prep. And I've said this and I hate being right too. When me and this brother talk so much, and we just really click, and always have. But yeah, it's prep. It's prep for what's to come, and what Trump is doing is really keeping that base hyped up. He's keeping that base to the point where they are ready for action, and you can see that. And I can tell you some terrible things that are happening, at least here in Texas, that I am concerned about. Now, I have no problem. I got guns myself, so I'm not against people having guns. I'm just against the wrong people having guns. And I'm talking about, when I say the wrong people, those who are more apt to go out and commit a violent act. So what's happened here in Texas, like in a few, I think Texas made the 22nd or the 23rd state, but Texas has joined the constitutional carry list. So September 1st, in a few more weeks, about, what, 6 more weeks in September, we're going to have here in Texas, and I can already see it, a bunch of firearms, sidearms on people's hips, you know, people, because I can remember when the open carry started here in Texas. And, oh, boy, everybody that had an open carry wanted you to know they had a gun. Now, I'm one, if I have a weapon, I don't really, I'm not going to broadcast I have a weapon. And that's the reason for the concealed carry, you know. But I don't see that being a good thing for certain people, because those types of people are emboldened with certain acts, and they are aggressive at certain times, and those times being when they outnumber you, and the other time being when they have a weapon on them. And don't get it twisted. One of them, we saw this on, in the case of what, George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. You know, he's a real badass because he got a gun. And like I say, I got a gun and I carry it every day, but I don't, it doesn't alter my attitude. And some people get a gun and, you know, like they have a few drinks and they get that liquid courage. Well, some people, when they have weapons, they get that weaponry courage. And because they know that they have something that's unstoppable, something that will stop you, something that will seize you, they are emboldened. And then you have a jackass like Donald Trump, who's keeping a lie going in order to keep the pot stirred, in order to keep chaos in the forefront, you know. So, like I say, at this rally, yeah, they said that they were over there chanting the same nonsense about 4 more years and, you know, just all the nonsense that Trump was spewing during the election. And I say this is dangerous because, you know, we all live here and we all know that the election has been over. And with the election being over, I think it's time to move on now, you know. So I'm going to open up a mic. So we got to, like I say, pay attention for one. And then for number two, we have got to be prepared to defend ourselves, because I feel like not far down the pike is going to be a time that we're going to have to defend ourselves, whether you want to or not, you know. And with this rhetoric, like I say, that Donald Trump is spewing is ridiculous. Peace, brother. Your mic is open. I got you open. I was just still jibber-jabbering.
No, jibber jabber is the shit they be selling us, pretty much, and we buy it by the bulk. So, yeah, I feel you. Well, what I see here, and I'm one of my people is coming through here in a minute. I'm trying to participate till they get here. I'm hoping they take their time. But the thing with Donald Trump is the epitome of what the cult of personality is all about. What we're seeing is a political party literally destroy itself, but they can't see that right now because in their mind they need him to win. So rather than go with logic, they would rather go with rhetoric. And whenever that happens, the last time that that happened, there was a civil war in this country. Everything that is happening right now is leading up to that. They had the CPAC convention, which is the conservative political action party shit, whatever, right? And a lady there who happens to be a governor, I think she's the governor of South Dakota, last name is Noem. She gets up there and swears this is not a racist country, that we love each other here and everything. Now, I don't know what TV set she's watching or what's on it, but the shit I see here doesn't promote love. I saw a cop put his knee on somebody's neck over, supposedly, we still don't even know if the 20 was fake or not, and we watched him be killed that way. That's not love. Breonna Taylor was sleeping in her home when she was shot by cops who had entered it illegally in the first fucking place. That's not love.
Both them, okay? John.
And
same
we have a
thing.
Million
exactly.
We have a million of those we can go through, but other ways to show there's
right.
no love is when we saw what happened in Charlottesville. People forget what Charlottesville was all about. They got stuck on the violence and forgot what it was about. It was about the Confederate statue. Those people went there with tiki torches to fight for the right for a racist-ass statue to stay up. They beat up people. They treated them badly, and then the president, Donald Trump, got up there and defended them. Never sent a condolence to the woman who was ran down. None of that. Okay?
Yep.
I don't see that love. On January 6th, I saw the most hate coming out of these people that I had seen in a long time because they was willing to put it on their own. Every time I've ever seen a noose in this country, I assumed that it was for black people. That's the only day in my life that I knew that the noose wasn't for no black people. So that's not love. I don't know what world they're living in, but if they're willing to do all of this, to strip us of rights, go back to Jim Crow just to win an election or two, then there is no love. And we're at war already, and we really need to be more coming from a defensive posture than this, oh, you're offending me, you need to stop that. It hasn't worked.
Right.
It hasn't worked.
I agree
with that. And we have basically locked ourselves into giving this perpetual benefit of the doubt to motherfuckers who have shown us where they're at. And when they show you where they are, don't tell yourself that you're tripping. They've shown you. Deal with them accordingly. That I'm a you.
Yeah, I agree. Because, we are, like you say, in a state of war already. Casualties. And you brought up a good point because, everything that is happening now, like you said. And my great-granddaddy used to tell me all the time, boy, Nunu, time don't do nothing but repeat itself, So I'm a definitely a firm believer in that, and I pay attention to that, too, because everything is repetitive, everything. It'll fade out. It'll come right back. It'll do a whole 360. Hairstyles, clothes, all of that, like you say, we have definitely got to prepare ourselves and recognize that we're in a state of war. And not only that, we've got to defend ourselves and be prepared to defend ourselves. And first of all, too, we've got to finance ourselves. I made this point last night on Sister Nikki's show. You know, finances is the backbone to anything that we are going to try to achieve. Anything that you're trying to accomplish, it's going to take finances to do that. You know, and here we are. We're watching a people, and I hate to give them credit, but you know, hey, they are preparing themselves for what's coming down the pike, while we are, you know, still worried about who the next versus is gonna be, and all that other nonsense that we get distracted by. You know, everybody, I think people are so caught up in this entertainment world and all this reality TV bullshit that's on TV, and people out here trying to live their best life, but their best life, they can't live it like they see it on these reality shows. And like I say, that's just another distraction. A lot of the programming that we have is, to me, of no content, because it's all, I'm not going to say it's so much as buck dancing, but it's still, to me, on a level of coonery, because it always portrays black people in a bad light. You know, a lot of the programming, like I say, that we see of us, you know, and then what do people do? People mimic what they see. People see somebody on TV for people, well, they think it's cool to do that. You know, that's the thing to do. That's, and see, TV media is a driving point in all of this as well, you know, in our demise and in other people's uprising as well, you know. But the thing that kills us the most, and we've talked about this, you know, numerous times, is our inability to communicate, because, yes, we are in a state of war, and, yes, it is time for us to be in a more defensive posture than we have been in. But in order for us to do that, we're going to have to communicate with one another. We're going to have to plan with, you know, some. And why I'm saying that is because some people are just feel like the answer is, yeah, let's go get some guns and some, you know, ammunition, and then, okay, then what? You know, because, well, where is the enemy? You know what I'm saying? You can't just go out, you know what I mean, and start and unnecessary violence. I'll say that you have to be targeted, because believe you me, these people who are following Trump and all these other Trump politicians, they're ready. They're preparing themselves. They are definitely in a, I won't even say a defensive posture. They're in more of a offensive, what's next posture, you know, as opposed to us being in a what's next posture. You know what I mean? If that makes sense. But, yeah, I do agree that we've got to be more, and that, too, just goes back to, you know, my little saying, how we need each other and how we don't recognize that. I'm not going to say we don't recognize it. We just don't act accordingly to it, you know. So, yeah, it's so much going on. And it seems like at the end of every bad thing that's happening, we're, you know, the victim. In all of it. And that's whether it be police or just any old regular civilian. nowadays, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely a time to be more more concerned with one another, more, like you were saying, vigilant and prepared to, you know, defend ourselves in a more defensive posture. And I know a lot of brothers, you know, that feel like we do, you know. And the thing is, we, and I'm not going to say us, but some of us, we refuse to come together because of this or because of that or because, you know, some little small petty thing. And that too is another problem within all this. And I've always thought, at least, that if the situation really started getting to more of a dire straits, that we would be more willing to bond and work together.
Come on, man.
As opposed to what we, you know, have been doing the past few years. Because, see, that's really what bonded everybody together.
Everybody
was in the 60s
though,
and the 50s, in the 40s, 50s,
they weren't
and
all
60s.
Bonded though, bro.
I'm saying there were more people.
They were closer together because of a combined attack, but they were not. They weren't united. That was a big part of the problem even back then. You had your black power versus your southern civil rights, plus there's your people in the Midwest who really were apathetic to either side. We were never truly united. We were better at dealing with each other, but as the pressure seemed to lighten, people got more and more individualistic. We thought it was a good thing for white neighborhoods to finally have a black family in it, not thinking of what that black family put themselves under to get away from us.
They had
so that's
to go
not
through when they got to those white neighborhoods.
Yeah, but if they stayed there,
some of them black families,
or we created our own black neighborhood with houses as opposed to just trying to move where they at. You know, our problem has been that we've been told that we need to be included to something that we built. We built it. We keep it going. We're the machine that makes it happen. And yet we're not included. We're not even a power base in it or nothing. And that's because believe me, if there had been more unity in the 50s and the 60s, a lot of this shit that happened in the 70s, 80s, and 90s wouldn't have happened.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
We
no
got
doubt.
Fractured. We got fractured, and about the 70s was the decade that did it. The 70s was a decade of decadence. Everybody was getting high. Everybody wanted to be hippies. Everybody was drinking. Everybody was enjoying disco, going out, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, you got a lot more people mixing, all of that shit. But it was an illusion. It was a fucking illusion. Because disco was the one place where you didn't have a color, you didn't have nothing. You was just there to have fun. And they killed that shit, even though I didn't see why. I mean, hell, there's some other music genres that's still around that should have been killed. Disco had to die because disco put everybody in the same place having fun. When they saw that movie, Thank God It's Friday, that was fearful because that's the leading to fear of a black planet right there. And that's the biggest fear. But the problem is, I'm not talking about white folks. I'm talking about black folks. Black folks have a fear of a black planet. And until we get past that fear, then we will continue to be subjects in this white planet. I'm going to shut up now.
Nah, brother, you ain't got to do that. Yeah, that's true, though. That's because the biggest fear because, and I can understand that fear because in the beginning it was an all black planet, you know. So definitely,
is they don't think they're black. None of them think they're Semitic. None of them think that they're us. And everything in Europe everything in Asia, all of that shit started in Kush, like it or not.
Yep. Right. Right. Yep.
So,
like I was telling some cats a few weeks ago, we everybody, mama and daddy, you know, everything derived
right.
from darkness.
That's why, you know, they have to, you know, like it or not, there's certain, it's like, it's not escaping me that all of these billionaires are spending a lot of money to get these rocket ship things going and become leaders in the space agency thing. Now, here's the thing. It ain't but about maybe, I want to say, 100,000 blacks that might be in a position to pay that price to get on that thing for a few minutes of weightlessness, that $250,000 or whatever. And we're going to have Jeff Bezos. He's going up in about a week. And then Elon Musk is doing his. Now, the problem I have with this is I saw a documentary a while back, I want to say a couple of years ago, and I know I watched it again last year. And it was a two-hour thing, like a movie almost. And it talked about how there was a gamma ray that was heading towards Earth. They knew it was coming, and the powers that be knew that it was going to destroy the planet, literally. Okay. So what they had did was the billionaires had got into a race to build rockets to get the fuck off this motherfucker.
Yeah, because their thinking is that they're going to be able to go up to Mars and find, they may find remnants of life on Mars. I mean, I have no doubt they'll find remnants of life that used to be there.
Here's the thing. Mars wasn't their destination. They were trying to get off of the planet, and they were literally making what was going to be an ark that was going to literally have tree lines, streets, and walkways, the whole nine. It was going to look so much like a neighborhood on Earth. They were going to have a gravity thing so they knew, they'd be fine that way. They were taking some food, grow stuff. This was a pretty big thing that they did. The problem was it was only going to take 40,000 people. So on a planet with 7 billion people, how do you figure what 40,000 are worth saving? And I started thinking about all of these billionaires spending this money. And I got to thinking, this government is slow to tell us anything. So I was keeping my eye on this space race because there's something else happening here. Because why would these billionaires all be wasting all of this money to get into a space program that if it becomes viable, the government would just take it over anyway?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And then, too, my theory, my thought is just I don't give a damn how much they think that they can go and live anywhere other than this planet. It's just not going to happen because if anything happens here ever to where supplies can't get to there, well, there's the end of that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's just shit that they trying to do that's so nonsensical to me, you know, and such a waste of money and such, you know, economic hardships right now. And then you see people just blowing $250,000 to fly to the edge of fucking space and float for what, a few fucking minutes and fly
four
back.
Minutes. Because all that happens right here in Mexico. They go up. They're up there. It takes them about 30 minutes to get up there, 30 to 35 minutes, and then they hit the edge. They float for a few minutes, and then they start their descent back to Earth.
Yep.
So for 4 minutes of weightlessness, and technically you have went into space, so you become an astronaut.
Boy, I tell you, the shit like, that some people do to get a title.
Well, what I look at is that while there's people hungry here and homeless and countries
exactly.
are in trouble, you know, and stuff like that, that this is where you'd rather spend your money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
And I'm wondering if Bill Gates would have jumped in, but he got divorce issues, so half of his multi-billions is about to belong to his ex-bitch, so... I guess he can't afford a rocket right now. But I have a feeling that there's some things they ain't really telling us yet. But that's always the way. And usually by the time we find out, it's usually too late to do much about it but accept it. And, you know, that's pretty much how they did us last year. I mean, you know, a lot of people literally didn't get shit. And they dealt with the COVID and the everything else like everybody else, risked themselves like everybody else. And for them, it was a regular year money-wise. They didn't get none of that assistance. They didn't get none of that shit. You know, so, you know, as long as other people get to decide what your needs are, you're going to be fucked, always. Self-determination, well, it's the only way we can survive. We can't survive under this rule anymore because this rule don't work for us. And we ain't going to work for them. I'm not. Fuck them. Okay?
The rule never worked for us. And then the thing about it is, too, like I've been saying the whole time during this coronavirus and all these new normals that they throwing at us, in the midst of that, we can create some of our own damn new normals. Damn, that's really not, you know, something to, you know, I just see that as common sense, really. Because we everybody's having to move differently.
But when did sense become common in our community? When did sense become common in the black community?
I think that we have better common sense. A lot of us just don't use it. Some just don't even possess it.
It's generational. No plantations had fences. Why? Because if you break them down enough, you didn't need fences. You still need a corral for animals. They didn't need no fences for us. No fences at Camp 8, boss. You got the gun line.
Yeah.
Okay?
True
so,
that.
You know, when people are trained... Literally like how they train elephants to not, when you feel the pressure of the rope, you don't try to move. This elephant can take the whole thing, but he feels he's stuck. So what does he do? He sits there and complies. We have been done the same way. Broken like a buck broken, and then, you know, given our chores and duties, and that's it. And we still play that game. Most people don't like thinking they're slaves, and they're still a fucking slave. Okay.
Well, you know what? That's a good point.
As long as he knows he's a slave, he's never going to want to be free.
Because
he don't know freedom. The ones that fucked us was the ones, the second generation of slavery was the ones that fucked us because they got born into it and that became the way. That was the problem.
Yeah, because I know... last week on my show, last week, Sister Kia had called in and we were talking about our people and she made a real good point too. It kind of stuck with me because I made a statement, I believe I said, why are we, no, that, yeah, because I said, why are we so fearful to, you know, protect ourselves, defend ourselves. And boy, the answer that she hit me with really, after that show last week, I sat there and I thought about that statement that she made. I'm going to lay it on you. Because what you said just then really ties into that. And she said that she really don't think that we are so much fearful. We're more have a more of a defeated feeling
And when she
to be defeated.
Exactly. And when she said that, I was just like, I couldn't even say nothing for about 30 seconds. You know I can talk. But, yeah, she had me for about 30 seconds because I really had to let that sink in. And I was like, damn, defeated. I said, and that's a hell of a statement. And then, you know, like I say, that kind of ties into what you just said about that second generation, you know, because they were born into it. And being brought into it is different from being born into it because, yeah, brought into it, you know other ways. Born into it, that's the only freaking way that you know. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, you had several things going on. You weren't allowed to speak African because, remember, all of them that came here didn't know English. They had to be taught that. And a lot of them still held on to a lot of the old ways. They wanted to get back to Africa. They wanted their freedom. You know, it was the second generation that's all they knew. Some of them, from birth to death, knew nothing but slavery and lived like to be 90 years old, slaves still, you know. So their whole life, what do they tell their kids? You know, you can be what you want. You can be anything, though. You better listen to what Master say. Don't talk back. Don't say nothing because he'll sell you, and I can't do nothing about it. Now, how can you respect that hierarchy in the family when you're basically telling me that the white guy who be whooping all of us, including you, is really the boss, and so why are we even listening to anything you say? The disintegration of our family structure happened then. It didn't. The 60s was a cementing of it, but that happened back then. They have never promoted us being a black, strong unit in any form, family or anything. And our problem is we went along with it. We voted for people who were totally not for us. We listened to them. We've trusted them. And, you know, I mean, we had a president who basically sold crack to poor people to fund wars in other countries. And now the result of that is an immigration, as they call it, crisis, but you created the crisis.
Yep.
You created the crisis. Had you not been in them people's countries fucking around, MS-13 wouldn't exist, and they might not be rich there, but they wouldn't be scared to live there. These people are afraid to stay in their home. So, you know, you have to look at, you know, we can look at the smoke all day and we'll keep seeing it because nobody's trying to put out the fire.
Yeah, that's the problem. That is the problem. Nobody, and my thing too, like I say, is just being communicable with each other. Like when I was in Birmingham the other night, you know, I talked to 3, 4, 5 different brothers, you know, just standing around, had me a couple of beers and, you know, striking up a conversation. And really, that's what we got to do because I see them brothers in Birmingham, but just like the brothers I know here around the city here in DFW, you know, and I consider them my brothers just the same, you know, and that's really where we have got to get because I look at other ethnicities and especially in these bigger cities and I look at how they move in unison, you know, if one is doing it, 5 of them is doing it, 10 of them is doing it, all of them is doing it. You know, and a prime example of that,
And white shop with whites, blacks won't shop with blacks.
A prime example of that is how I'm watching, especially here in Texas, and especially around the DFW area because this is my second time living up here, unfortunately, and I'm going to probably be getting back to the country where I want to be, but I digress. But I watched how certain areas of Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, that used to be predominantly us, now are more Hispanic, because you know what happened in those situations, and it's even happening back in the little town that I grew up in East Texas. You know, we instead of keeping the land that great grandmama and them had and all that, and keeping it in the family, well, we sell it off for what little pennies we can get for it, and then what I'm seeing, these Hispanics are buying up a whole lot of these communities. I'm not just talking about houses. And I mean, like I say, this is happening down in my hometown. Well, in a couple of towns I know back in East Texas where these Hispanics are really buying up the blocks, buying up these lands, redoing these houses they sell and moving in, you know. And then they bring in another family up the block. And see, we don't do that because, see, our thing is we get selfish because we get a little bit, we don't want nobody to get what we have, and we damn sure don't want nobody to get more than we have. You know what I'm saying? That's where our issue comes in, you know. And that's why I say, too, we can't rely on these celebrity entertainers to be our voices, because they not really going through what we go through on this level on a daily basis. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they see it now more than they probably used to. But unlike the entertainers back in the 50s and 60s who truly got involved in the movement and really didn't give a damn about the consequences, we don't really have those kind of entertainers, because what we have now, we have, instead of them telling us what we should be doing and how we should be moving, they telling us, no, just sit down and this, you know, coddling, trying to coddle us, be docile.
They go along with the system.
Exactly, exactly. You know,
and they tell us, yeah,
very
go
time,
get vaccinated, go do this, go do that, and we listen to them. Remember in Cosmic Slop where they couldn't get nobody of substance to come out, so they got all the entertainers to try to keep black people on the planet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, and even the lady, even in the movie, she said, this is in the 90s, early 90s, and she says, you know, wow, they just have a lot of entertainers out there, huh? Yeah, so they were the only ones who would come.
Yep, yep.
You know?
And
I'm thinking, we can't let our entertainers be our guide, because these are people who are trained in the art of entertaining, acting, all of those things. How can we trust that when they have sold themselves body and spirit to the system?
Exactly.
You know?
My point.
Yeah.
Yep.
And these rappers know if they put out something that's too substantial, then they risk going through what David Banner went through. When he changed his mind about what he wanted to rap about, he didn't want to rap about, you know, you know, big caddies and riding up, hogging up both lanes. He didn't want to talk about that silly shit no more, and they basically wouldn't let him put another record out.
Yep.
And I really wanted to hear what he would have said. I'd have bought
it. Yeah, it would have been.
Because he would get ready to talk about real shit over bullshit. And here's a guy who could take his bullshit record, which was a gold record, platinum actually. You know, that stunting is a habit, platinum fucking record. Made plenty of money on it. Okay? But that's what they'd rather hear rather than getting your mind right. They want to know, you know, basically, you know, you're doing dumb shit versus real shit. And any artist who decides they want to do real shit is usually threatened with no more monetization. And then they go back to they rightful spot and continue on doing what they do. So who are they truly entertaining, us or them?
Yeah, because that music, I've always said, you know, it was more, and anyway, with the hip-hop, it was more pure of a form back then than it is now. Now it is really,
it was better.
I mean, it was entertainment. It was, it was entertainment then, but not only was it entertainment then, it was actually it was sustenance in a lot of the hip hop back then, because I call that hip hop. I don't call that rap. I call what they do today rap, because
hip hop was bullshit then. Hip hop was Grandmaster Flash and them talking about vehicles they didn't own, houses they didn't live in, gold they didn't have, and women they couldn't get. Hip hop was simple. It's okay to be on some bullshit. It's entertainment. Problem is that once they saw the power of it, they controlled it, and now they took the message and dumbed it down to the point to where if you wanted to say, I want to fuck this girl in a rap record in the 80s, you had to be slick about how you said that. Now you can just say it. The portrait that paints, though, is those people who don't like rap music can look at the violence, the degradation, the greed, all of the sins that are perpetrated in these records and use that to judge all of us by. And that's the problem, because I don't judge all white people by Motley Crue. But we're judged by our music and everything else. And as much as they love it, they still don't love us. So I don't know how strong our entertainers really can be, because while they have the money to solve a lot of problems and the stroke to start some shit, a lot of them are not going to give up their mansion and their yacht for you and your kids to eat tonight safely. I yield.
Yeah, that show ain't gonna happen. And a lot of times, like I was saying, with me, I just think it was a little more substance in.
It was fun back then.
And
it was
when
fun.
Well,
it was hip hop. It was fun. I mean, when we did it in New York. It was basically for everybody to party and get together, and when the cops came, unplug shit and run. That's what hip-hop started out as. And it was different. Now, it's a business. I don't even see it as entertainment anymore. They've turned it into a full-fledged business. And rappers don't make what people think. Most of them, after they see all the shit they got to do to get that little bit of money... they'd rather go get a job. That's why most of them don't stop doing crime, if they're doing crime at all. It ain't what people think. Once in a while, you get a Jay-Z or somebody like that who's, just whatever they touch goes out is good. But not everybody has that luck. Think about how many rappers came and went. They gone. They came, two songs, gone. Never heard them again. Where are they now? Roscoe Dash, remember him? He's a Texas boy, too,
yeah.
I think. Roscoe Dash, you know who he is, right?
Yeah.
Roscoe Dash was clowned because he was actually an Uber driver as well. But, see, that's because when you listen to the song, No Hands, if you think this guy's making, he makes it rain, thunderstorms, all of this shit. Okay? So I'm thinking him driving an Uber shouldn't be a big deal. To me, it was nothing. He got clowned over that based off of what he had said, all of this, how him and Waka and Wale party and shit. And then they find out he drives an Uber. He still has a nice house. He still has vehicles. I didn't see nothing wrong with it. That's what you do. That's what you do. But instead of just minding our business and enjoying the music he has put out, people want to shame him and make sure he can't make no money that way. And he ain't got no choice but to drive a fucking Uber. That's not cool. I just think our whole, like you said in the beginning, our whole way, we have to look at our perspective on their perspective of us in order to understand what they see when they see us. Because whether we like it or not, we're reacting to what we think they think we are. That means we don't know who the fuck we are, obviously. They're defining us, and we need to define ourselves. Just saying. Hip-hop belonged to us. It should have never been taken. It should have never been in their control. It should have stayed like it was in the beginning. And now It's a tool used against our children. And they love it.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make about hip-hop in the beginning and just being more of a pure art form and more of a way to communicate, because I can remember hearing a lot of East Coast music at first, West Coast mm-hmm. music, and then it started coming out of the Midwest and the South as well, and you started hearing the different stories, and then you started recognizing the commonalities that we had from East Coast, North, West, South, all over. I appreciated the storytelling aspect of it, the purity of it, the fun aspect of it as well. Where we lost it was, yeah, when like you say, the money that was saw in it, and yeah, that is another thing that has bothered me. It was another point I was going to make about hip-hop. We should have stayed in control of that, because everything we do is going to turn to gold. I think the Midas touch refers to us, because whenever we do something, we master it. We take it to another level that nobody else can perform at. You know, and yeah, that's definitely something that, like you said, closing your statement then, yeah, we should have kept that to ourselves, because if just imagine, and that's the thing, we always, like you always say, we give them the benefit of the doubt. And so what happened? First case scenario. Here's my point.
We didn't
I'm
own
thinking,
any record company, so we couldn't control it.
Exactly.
Everybody wanted
exactly.
to make more money, and they had to go to those white companies. Look, every major label came out with what they call urban labels. RCA created Jive Records. MCA created Uptown. Everybody had some shit that was aimed at niggas, just for lack of a better word. We didn't own any record companies in order to keep control of it. And by the time we realized that we could do that, it was too late, because then it became a distribution thing. That's why we couldn't keep control. Everybody wanted more money, and the record companies came offering piles of it. How does a rapper who's never put out a record sign a slave deal, 10-album deal, not realizing that he now is locked in for 9 more albums, no matter how this other album does? And depending on that, for even then, the average rapper don't get past 2 to 3 albums if they get there. So it's an illusion all the way around. What it is that we don't make the money off of it. All we get is the stress that comes with it. Biggie and Tupac, that should have been Suge and P. Diddy. That's who should have got shot, not them two. They made so much money off of the deaths of their artists that I almost think they worked together on it, to be honest with you. I mean, when a murder happens, who stands to benefit, right? I'm sorry, brother. I think I cut you off.
I'm gonna take a quick break, real quick. Gotta do something real quick. I'm gonna take a real quick break, and we'll be right back. Anyone who may be listening, feel free to call in. Call in is 914-205-5538. I got to take a quick break real quick. Be back in about 2.5 minutes.
I want you to know that I want you to see. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't going to do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not going to work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment on the because of the simple reason that I'm too young to die. I want to live a little bit longer. What you did, you're dead already.
You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to see after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die what I was in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even be able to live in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
Okay, I'm back. I hope y'all can hear me now. I think I lost my caller. I think he hung up. The call dropped out. I was having problems with my headset. Okay, but I'm back. I like I say, I hope y'all can hear me. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what was going on with my headset here. But anyway, I throwed in a quick break there after Brother Kevin got to talking. I was gonna throw in just a backdoor piggyback off of what he was saying. Yeah, just being able to keep control of it. Because I can remember when a few of the people, Jake Prince and a few other Gotti and a few others were trying to get together to actually start doing distribution and all of that on their own. And it took one of us to go and rat them out. yeah, I just think that we're such a creative people. And we've created so much that we don't benefit off of, music being one of them, and not just hip-hop and rap. Dang, I hope y'all can hear me. Not just hip-hop and rap, but hell, even classical music was created by people of color. So pretty much any genre of music that you listen to derives from us, but we never reap the benefits of it. So, like I say, that's just another case of, you know, my theory about us needing to support one another and not just vocally, but mentally, financially, and in all areas like that, because heck, we can't let people keep coming in from the outside, basically stealing from your home, you know, and that's basically what happens in that game. I have a cousin who was involved in music and has been involved in music for years. He's not the flashy type, but he's out in Vegas, and he's worked with a few named artists. Yeah, that's just the game. Like I say, my thing with that is, how can you take ownership and of somebody's thoughts and words, and then own the masters and not even allow them to reap the benefits of that. So that's just another game that, you know, a lack of control, I'll say, that we're missing. And we should definitely be in control of our own thoughts and lyrics and all of that. And, you know, like I say, it's just a part of having to really dig deep and starting to work together, bond together, and things of such. I'm going to have to cut this one short. I lost my call because my mic messed up on me. I'm having a real good conversation. But I do appreciate you calling in, Brother Kevin, as usual. Appreciate everyone who listened online. Before I go, I'll say, you know, we're living in some trying times, some dangerous times, and we've really got to start paying attention to what's going on and not what's presented to us. And a lot of times we'll take what's presented to us and make the most of that while not paying attention to what's really happening. And like I say, we're dealing with an element of people who have hate on their mind, revenge on their minds and in their hearts, and they want control by any means, whether it be right or wrong, you know. And this is part of the problem, you know. I don't understand how, I just really don't understand, because my spirit is not there. And I don't understand the waking up hatred, going to bed hatred, every breath you taking hatred. Life is too short for that. But if that is what is coming down the pike, and that is what seems to be coming down the pike, preparation is necessary. And I don't want to see any more of us slaughtered than has to be, or any more of us slaughtered than already has been. Because we always lose. We always lose. And I'm just, we don't win in the justice arena. We don't win in the financial arena. We don't win where it counts. We're not winning in the unification arena. We're not winning in the building arena. And those are the areas that count. Those are the areas that matter, because those are things of sustenance. Those are things that can be passed down. Those are things that don't have to be visioned. And we need to get to building foundations. Like I always say, foundations strong enough for four generations to stand on. And that's just my goal, to try to leave as much as we can for them to work with, so they don't have to beg like we're having to beg. And like Brother Kevin was saying, you know, just like with all the money that came out with the PPP stuff, you know, and these big box corporations and churches and all were staking claims to the money. And in the meanwhile, the smaller businesses were suffering and folding. And probably from what I was reading,
about 40% of those businesses they're forecasting probably won't even have the financial means to come back. So, you know, those are things, like I say, that we've got to think about, and those are things that we already have. You know, we have the means to financially back each other. We just don't. And that's why I say it's important for us down here on this level and for those of us who are actually living this day by day to stick together in this. We need each other out here. More than we know, y'all, we need each other. We need to come together, black man, black woman, come together and do what it is that we need to do. And on that, I'm going to close out. Peace, power, and love, y'all. And like I always say, let's plan, organize, and unify. I'm out. Love y'all.
Who taught you, please? Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask who yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you. Teach you to love the hair that God gave you. Here you way out in the middle of the ocean, can't swim, and you worried about someone that's in the bathtub and can't swim. We don't steal, we don't gamble, we don't lie, and we don't cheat. And that also deprives the government of revenue. Because you can't get into a whiskey bottle without getting past the government seal. You can't open a deck of cards without getting past the government seal. Here, the white man makes the whiskey and then puts you in jail for getting drunk. He sells you the cards and the dice and puts you in jail when he catches you using them. So he's against us because we fix it where he can't catch you anymore. We take the dice out of your hands and the cards out of your hands and the whiskey out of your head. The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us to respect our women and to protect our women. And the only time a Muslim really gets real violent is when someone goes to molest his woman. We will kill you for our woman. I'm making it plain, yes. We will kill you for our woman. We believe that if the white man will do whatever is necessary to see that his woman gets respect and protection, then you and I will never be recognized as men until we stand up like men and place the same penalty over the head of anyone who puts his filthy hands out to put in the direction of our women.